saying nothing, lying where the sun is, baking down upon our sides.
Thank you, Mr. Elvis Presley, for that beautiful song written by Neil Diamond. Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N. It is time for the men's room with Wayne Levine. Wayne is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMen.org in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMen.org's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. And I believe, Wayne, you want to change your intro to include this new site that you're working on.
I've got information for you, Bruce. I'll get it to you.
Okay. When you want me to change it, you just give me what you want, and I will do so. Welcome back to the show. And how are you today?
I'm feeling terrific, and I'm feeling joy.
Good. That's what you mentioned in the break when we talked briefly about the topic today, that people that commit suicide often are not feeling much joy in their life.
Well, by the time they get to that point, the joy has been completely wrung out of them, for sure. And we've had some experience with suicidality in our groups. We've had a lot more experience. We've had some experience with actual suicide as well.
Well, what would be your first thoughts on the general topic, and to whatever degree you can, let's maybe keep it a little bit oriented towards kids as well, I mean teenagers in particular?
Well, grown men are just kids, you know, that got a little older and not necessarily a lot more mature and have not necessarily worked out those really pressing issues that had them depressed when they were children. You wrote about a guy in your column, Father Six, pillar of his community, successful, et cetera, et cetera. But clearly that was not the truth.
Yes.
He was not happy. He was not the mask that he was presenting to the outside. And apparently he was a part of a church. You know, he had his religious community, like a lot of men do. And yet they're not telling the truth. They can't bring themselves to tell the truth. And the people closest to them oftentimes don't know how much pain they're in. And the more you are dug in terms of being that pillar, the more stuck you can feel around trying to uphold that image.
Indeed, indeed.
The more you are in leadership, the less likely you are to ask for help.
Yeah, you don't want to show that you're vulnerable, gosh.
Or you just feel isolated because you have a responsibility and you don't want to let people down. I mean, all of these things trap capable, successful, wonderful men to a point where, to a point where you can't see any other out but killing yourself.
It's hard to imagine, but I believe it. I've been a little bit in that place myself, which I'll talk about some other time. But
So have I, Bruce. I mean, that's why I understand this. I mean, there was definitely a time when I was suicidal many years ago after the birth of my daughter, and things were coming up. I had no idea at the time what was happening, but I was overwhelmed with emotion that I didn't understand, and it was killing me.
Overwhelm or overwhelmed does seem to be an operative word here. In why a lot of people, I think, do take their own lives. It's a sense of just not knowing where to start. It's what they think are their problems are just too large to surmount.
And it doesn't happen overnight. This is a process of not getting the help and support you need for a long time. Having a certain worldview, having certain negative self-talk that you hear yourself telling yourself every day. I mean, it's a long process when you get to the point where you cannot imagine any other options.
It certainly is. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, or at least point out, that obviously the problem of depression or the problem of being isolated is not reserved for men. But women certainly suffer their own problems and have their own issues that are equally difficult to deal with. What I would suggest as a stereotypical difference between men and women is the what you have already talked about, which is women do tend to talk about their feelings with each other more than men. And one of the biggest things I've learned over the years with doing the men's work with you is exactly the value of men having other men to really talk about, not just, you know, shoot hoops with.
Right. I don't know what the numbers are, Bruce, but I suspect that the suicide rate for men is completely off the chart compared to women.
I don't know that answer either.
Women don't go there like men, and I've read articles in the past about the psychology of it, but this is a huge issue for men. And when men are committing suicide, women and families are obviously devastated. So it's a problem for everyone, right?
Well, and the suicide idea is much more a response to a problem, and how do we fix it, which tends to be male nature. Okay, I have a problem. The problem is I can't deal with life. How do I fix it? Okay, I'm going to fix it by killing myself. That's how a man sometimes thinks, whereas a woman might feel the same problem and want to just talk about it or do something, or whereas a man is going to take action, and unfortunately men take sometimes very dramatic action.
Well, George Bailey, you're worth more dead than alive.
Exactly. Well, you know that's my just about my favorite all-time movie. It's a Wonderful Life for those two or three people in the universe that don't know who George Bailey is.
And how many men get their life insurance statements and look at the accumulated value and the surrender value and all that stuff and I go, wow, that would certainly take care of my family's problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a sad. Sad. It's an incredibly distorted view to think that money would solve the loss of a father or a spouse.
Distorted and all too common, because the men, especially now, with the economy and so many men being unemployed, they can't provide. They feel they can't provide. They feel emasculated. They don't have a way out. They're full of shame, and they can't stand it anymore. And most of them are isolated, so they're not getting the help that they need. Because the truth is, there are solutions to every problem. And there are people who come in to work with guys like me, and they'll present these problems that are, like, unbelievable. The holes they've dug, the things they've done, the people they've hurt. But even with all of that, there are options out there that I can't imagine, because I'm not in their shoes, I'm not in their lives. But once they get to a better place, then the opportunities present themselves, or better yet, they start to see the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But without that help, without getting out of that very, very deep, lonely, desperate place, the men can't begin to see what options that they have to turn things around.
You know, what's interesting is one of the most common pieces of advice given to people that are depressed is, in essence, getting rid of your isolation by getting out and doing something charitable, working with somebody, helping somebody that is in more need than you may think of yourself. And most of us that do get in any form of depressed state are usually far better off than many other people that have severe illnesses or handicaps. And I know when I was in a down place, that's one of the first things I did, is I went out and I started mentoring a fatally ill young man who I still mentor to this day. And you start looking at the world outside of yourself, and it's a little harder to feel sorry for yourself.
Yes, one of the things that we always say to each other in less serious moments is stop making it about you.
Exactly. Right.
You know, in terms of how you're behaving with your wife or your kids, stop focusing on how it makes you feel and all that. And certainly when you're in that place, you're not feeling anything but your own despair. And yes, it's great advice. It's great advice to help out. I'm dedicated. My higher purpose is about having men get together in circles of men and growing those circles and giving more men the opportunity, which is all a part of this Connect the Men nonprofit that we're building.
Well, given that we're nearly out of time, why don't you quickly tell us a little bit about that and where our listeners can find you?
Right. Connect the Men is something we'll talk more about in future shows when we work out the details, but what we're building is a certification process so that men can become trained to be men's group leaders, so that we have those group leaders all over North America, so that anyone, wherever you are, you can find a place to quickly connect with a circle of men. And right now, those opportunities are few and far between, and often just sort of in areas like California, New York, certain areas, but not everywhere. So men need that everywhere. And in the meantime, while we're building Connect the Men, you could find me at bettermancoaching.com.
Bettermancoaching.com. We are out of time, Wayne. Thank you for this powerful segment. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Talk to you next week. It is time for a break. We will be back with Pastor Drew Sams for Teen Rap, and we will continue this somewhat serious discussion. Look.